start the show.
I am starting the show. So, right. As I was saying before, hi, my name is Brandon. I suck dick. Let's get into
Let's just be professional here.
Let's get into
it. Trigger warning.
Welcome to Cocktails with Cocktails.
Trigger warning. Throughout this episode, we will have the utmost fun, but we will also touch on a few things like sexual assault and domestic violence. We understand if this episode is not for you. We truly appreciate you, but we're here to have fun. But we're also here to talk about some serious stuff. I'm going to introduce our guest. This is a part two, so actually, I'm not. I'm just going to say their names. We got Bree in this bitch. We got Shani in this bitch. We got Tay in this bitch. And we got Taylor. She might have fucked your bitch in this bitch.
Period. I like
you feel
that.
Me? So, with no intro. Actually, yeah, we are going to do the intro question. But we're just going to leave it to Shani and Bree for this one. Intro question, you can introduce yourself, but answer it, please. You can be very vague or detailed, however you want to go. But if someone close to you is a victim of domestic violence, what is your reaction and your response?
I'm going first. So I'm Brianna. I am a trauma-informed yoga teacher. I have been facilitating classes around the Metro Detroit area since 2020.
Shout out to you.
Thank you so much. So in the event that someone I know is experiencing domestic violence or sexual abuse, I feel like you always have to come to a place of just listening first. Because so many people try to put out resources or tell someone, you know, what they should do or what they shouldn't do. And I feel like, especially if you haven't experienced that personally, it's just always best to listen first and then ask what help people need. I'm not a person who has experienced sexual abuse, or I won't say domestic violence. I have experienced domestic violence, but I've also been the cause of domestic violence as well. So
what do you mean by that?
I done beat a nigga up before.
Okay, we're gonna touch on that later on.
Accountability, I like that.
Yeah,
me too.
I've definitely let someone get me out of my character and put my hands on the man. Mm. And I have taken full responsibility of it and removed myself from the situation. So that would, to me, be the first step. Is
that's
to,
maturity?
Yeah, remove yourself from the situation first.
Okay. Mm. All right, where we at, Shani? Oh, she's sitting up, y'all.
My name's Chantel Watkins, a.k.a. Shani the Hippie. I'm a community organizer, activist, elected official, a mom, a poet, and a real-ass nigga.
Are we going to get
from
home,
somebody who has experienced both things, I feel like you should kill him.
That part.
Damn.
Can we get a high five on that? You should kill him. She said what she said. You should fucking kill that nigga.
I mean, like, I already told you that I just don't have the education behind some things, and I have the emotion. And through going through certain situations and having people in my life who have been killed by men, I feel like we should kill them. So,
hey, can we take a moment of silence and just say rest in peace to the people that have gone through those things? And I'm sorry for the losses that you in particular have had, actually recently at that, due to domestic violence.
We can say her name, Native Child, my cousin Kelly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So we can just. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So we could take our moment of silence. Okay.
She'd have been mad as fuck I was doing it on this podcast.
Doing what?
This. She'd be like, bitch, you on this nasty ass podcast.
Oh, we
talking
would,
about me.
Look, we would have had her on. Okay.
That's my girl.
She would have had a ball regardless. Rest in peace to her beautiful soul.
Yeah.
Okay. And rest in peace to Diamond Williams. Her boyfriend violently stabbed her.
Rest in peace.
Mm-hmm. Beat her to death. Mm-hmm. Locked her child in a closet. Mm-hmm. And fled the scene and killed himself. Mm-hmm. So I just want to say rest in peace to Diamond.
Rest in peace,
she
Diamond.
She was a very beautiful person. These niggas are sweet.
I'm sending love and light to that daughter.
Not to tell my story, but to tell my story. I didn't realize. I guess I mean, to be honest, I just grew up in a sheltered household. Like, I haven't really had. My parents gave me a life where I never seen those types of things happen.
Amen.
That's a blessing.
And I started dating someone, and she runs a domestic violence organization. And she was telling me all these things, and then I started going to these events, and it was just like, what the fuck? Mm-hmm. I didn't know people actually went through this type of shit. Mm-hmm. So, like, when we started the episodes and started recording, I always felt like it was a need to... These episodes don't do good. I'm just going to call it a bean. Mm-hmm. They don't get the traction that somebody getting a perk in their ass is gonna get. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? Like they don't start high, don't end high. It just doesn't.
Yeah.
It's fucked up. But
because people don't wanna come to the reality that it happens.
Yeah. But if I get through to one person, if I have one conversation and it helps one person out, it's always worth it.
And I appreciate you for even taking the opportunity to have this on this type of podcast. No, because no problem. there's not many people who will
type of podcast without and not feel that's the thing.
And
it's
irresponsible if you didn't. Mm-hmm.
And it's also the reason why, like, before Alessa, I went through several co-hosts, and it was a point where I was like, damn, should I just do it by myself? And it was like, as a black heterosexual man, I felt like I had a duty to, even though I could speak as much as I want for black women, I felt like it was a duty that I had to actually get somebody on this show to be that actual voice compared to me. Like,
come on, ally.
To me, I felt like that was the best way to be an ally. That's honestly so
beautiful, because the fact that you even thought, like, having a co-host that's a black woman, just to have an outlet, or just to have a voice for the black woman.
And I mean, I could have Ice-T wife on this bitch. Like,
I'm sick of you. Shout out to her. Shout out to Coco. Yeah. I don't think she's done anything to anybody.
The point is, I couldn't have.
But like, I'm glad it's not her. you know.
And so, like, I just want to, like, break down, like, the best way to, like, treat these situations. Like, when you're dealing with people, like, I had somebody very close to me. Like, I'm an only child, but I had somebody that was like my sister. I'm not here to, like, tell her story, but we weren't even talking. And somebody close to her reached out to me, and I dropped everything because of what she dealt with. And I would never want to see somebody go through that. Like, I seen the levels of it, like, step by step by step. And the crazy part is, it honestly started off with her touching him, like, hitting him. And I told her, like, hey, these are the steps that this is going to get to. And I don't want to be right, but I was. Like, they literally, every step that I told her, step 1 through 4, that's what it got to. And luckily, she was not killed. Like, you know, she was one of the lucky ones. But the reason why I'm bringing this up is because I don't think people know how to handle this, especially in those very unique circumstances where you might be friends or family to both sides, to both parties. And that's why I wanted to have this open conversation and say, what the fuck do we do if Alessa's best friends with Bob and Darla, and Bob or Darla hits how does she handle that? What's the right answer there?
I think really, I've been...
Well, I think that's, you automatically assumed it was Bob.
I have done that. Like, I have had two friends get involved with each other after I asked them not to get involved with each other because I knew that they were both
toxic.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I was going to choose different words. But, and then here I am caught in the middle, and I don't know who is actually telling me the truth.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, our culture, American culture, is just violent in general. Mm-hmm. Yes. American culture is very violent.
Yep.
I have been in fights with niggas. I've gotten beaten up by niggas, and I've beaten up niggas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we saw you at Aretha.
There are several different things that have happened, and even when it comes to relationships and stuff. But I really feel like the person who makes it physical is the person who's wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that needs to be addressed first, and you need to talk to that person, and you need to get them away from each other. Yeah. No matter who it is, if it's the girl, if it's the guy, whatever, like, we fight patriarchy, and we have to be honest. Even as women, we get upset, and sometimes we can't keep our fucking hands to ourselves.
Most definitely.
We have to be honest about that, because even though we're not beating a man's ass as much as he can beat our ass, the emotional and mental triggers for somebody who cares from you putting their hands on you, like, that's a lot for somebody to take in, and it still hurts. Men still have feelings. And like, I feel like most girls have all been there. Yeah. Like, I'd be a liar to say that I have not been there, where I've been like, you getting a two-piece and a biscuit. Mm-hmm. Like, but really, at the end of the day, we have to have that conversation and be honest and say, violence in relationships are not okay. Mm-hmm. Same-sex relationships get violent. Girls and girls, guys and guys. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people don't see it as a problem. Yeah. But you're in an intimate relationship with each other.
And violence shouldn't be involved in this relationship.
Not at all. We need to all learn to keep our hands to ourselves. But then there's the other element of that, of like, there's 2 degrees of domestic violence to me. There's that, like, two piece and a biscuit, like, we're arguing, we got frustrated. And then there's the intention to kill and do harm. Those things end up, not to say that one, they're both fucking wrong, mm-hmm. but yes. one is worse.
It's drunk driving. Yeah. It's drunk driving and you kill somebody.
Yes. And there's like, you know, like there's those things. So when we're talking about the people who have intention to domestic violence, like that is a part of domestic violence. That mm-hmm. little, we're arguing and now it got a little physical. We mm-hmm. pushing each other and shoving each other's faces. That's wrong as fuck. So let wrong. Mm-hmm. But then there's the people who are isolating you from your family. Mm. There's the people who are
exactly
who are downing you. It starts as emotional.
The you ain't that pretty. They're you using look fat in their finances. And then they're financially abusing
financially you. Abusing you. Yes. And then they end up literally, it starts with a push yep. down the steps.
Yep.
Then it's a punch to yep. the chest.
Yep.
And then there's all these things that are not on your face. Mm-hmm. And then it graduates to your face. There are 2 degrees of that. That little, y'all arguing in the fucking car about Burger King and you can't control your emotions and punching somebody, that's yep. fucked up.
Woo. Yeah.
But the people who are literally doing the, it starts
the manipulation
yep. and that escalation and then it ends a lot of times in murder, that's mm-hmm. a different degree of that. Both mm-hmm. of them are wrong and we need to eliminate violence from our culture, but these people who we are talking about, that's a different conversation. And that's usually the conversation women are in.
Yes.
Is
yes.
that I can't keep my fucking hands to myself, which is still fucking wrong. Let's not talk about it. Yep. To address yeah. patriarchy, yep. we need to address that every woman needs to keep our hands to ourselves.
Can I jump yes. on that?
Yeah.
So to go to that, to go back to my friend, when she told me that, I said, you never hit anybody before. She said, you're right. And I said, hey, if somebody brings those triggers out of you, you have to be responsible and mature enough to remove mm-hmm. yourself from that situation. Because I do feel like, and I want to say I'm not an abuse apologist, but I do think that I've never seen somebody have a conversation about the actual abusers. So yeah. that's why I want to talk about them today.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. the point that I'm making by bringing up the abusers is you got to ask yourself, like, what can you do to get yourself out of the situation? Mm-hmm. Is this person in a situation that's toxic that created them to act like this? Or does this person normally act like
but
this on a regular
basis? But that conversation is only for the people who are just frustrated.
But
you get what
also,
I'm saying? That's yeah. for the people who are frustrated.
Yeah.
Those manipulators and those people,
agree,
that's
100%.
A different conversation. Yeah, that
because
this,
it's levels
this
of abuse.
There's levels. Yeah. of There's yeah. levels. Us being emotional and frustrated, I could have punched mm-hmm. a bitch like that mm-hmm. at the fucking bar. That's a totally different conversation.
Yep.
Me being a serial killer, mm-hmm. is a different conversation.
Like,
those are things that we can't solve in this room.
Yeah.
Us telling people, if your nigga make you mad, bitch, keep your hands to yourself, call your girlfriend and go home. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a different conversation yep. than somebody who ends up murdering their yep. significant other. There are 2 degrees to domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
Taking the accountability for being, I could have kept my fucking hands to myself mm-hmm. is a different conversation than the person who, that person can't even call their mom mm-hmm. because this person did 6 months of isolation work.
Yeah. And then also, because I don't want to forget, if anyone
that's my cousin
yeah if you or anyone you know is in need of help, please contact the National Domestic Violence Hotline. That's 800-799-7233. Again, that's 800-799-7233. If you reach out to us, you know, we can definitely try to point you in the right direction, but we want to put that out there. I didn't notice the domestic violence hotline started, I think it was 1994. Yeah. Ooh, oh, was that a part of your
yep, that
naughty
was actually
time?
One
oh,
of
I'm gonna let you jump into that then yeah. in a second. But yeah, I like this conversation. The reason why I was asking these questions is like, can abusers like grow from these things? Like, should people like I remember it wasn't domestic violence, but the one guy who did the things with the little girls and he was excommunicated. Not that I disagree with it. But my question is, like, when people do things, like, should we as friends and family like excommunicate them? Should we try to get them help? Like, how does that work? And to
I
me,
think it depends on the person.
It
depends on what
going.
Stage of life they're yep. in.
It depends on the severity, too.
Yeah.
It,
yes.
I don't think that it depends on the severity because, like he said, everything builds up.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes from the simple manipulation of, I don't want you talking to your friends. I don't want you going out. Or, you know, don't talk to your dad because, you know, I'm the man in the house. I don't need you calling another man telling mm-hmm. us your decisions.
Yep.
So I don't think that there is anything that deals with the severity because severity grows over time.
It does.
And you have a lot of people who play Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, right?
I like the way you flip.
So you have a person who shows up and they show up with their representative, but they're a completely different person when they are with that significant other. And I think especially for men, they think that if a woman is not doing what you're telling them to do, then domestic violence is the the right of way.
Yeah, and that's not the
putting a woman in her place is the right of way.
I don't agree. I feel like severity is very important, because I feel like you having like shoving someone and punching someone in their fucking face are two different things.
I meant severity in the way of not letting it get to that point.
Okay, yeah, I can agree with that.
Starting with the subtle things, with the verbal abuse, because I think that we bypass that.
You're right.
Starting with verbal abuse, I think that that's severe. Like, it shouldn't be when someone puts their hands on you.
I feel like there are different degrees of it. Like, yeah, when we're talking about like the people who are using manipulation tactics and those people who are literally who have made it their point
but
to be a predator.
So subtle. Yes.
But I feel like there's a difference between a predator and a situation.
Yeah.
A situation might make you act out of character. Right. And I feel like a situation that makes you act out of character is something that people can forgive. Yeah. Because we all end up growing.
But how many fucking situations does it take for it to be
A situation is a situation. After that, like, I feel like a situation.
But I'm saying in our community, you can take one situation and be like, oh, damn, he was mad. And we take, as women, we take accountability. Oh, I pushed his buttons. I got him a little too far. I made him upset. And we take that one situation and say, oh, that wasn't severe enough for me to have it as a red flag for it to then be several situations and then it becomes physical.
When I say a situation, I mean one. Okay. Like, very firmly in that. Because I feel like we all end up acting out of character at some point. Mm-hmm. After one, that is just your character. Mm-hmm. That is just where you are. It might even be your character. It might be where you are in life. You're dealing with mental health issues.
You're
drinking too fucking much.
Yeah.
Whatever's going on.
Yeah,
but that's a different situation. But there are also predators.
Yeah.
Predators are the people who have a fucking pattern and are doing this and using it as their answer of control or trying to do something. Those people, fuck them. They can fucking go to hell.
So, to give a brief synopsis, it sounds like, and I understand where everybody's coming from, it sounds like you're saying, like, yes, people make mistakes, but then it's people who are just bad people.
Yes.
And that's bad people is fucked up.
But bad people fuck it up for people who are making mistakes.
Yeah, because
there are people who have genuinely made a mistake. Yeah. There are people who are 19 years old who probably did choke a bitch out at a college party and never put their hands on somebody again, but they're labeled into that because there are real predators who were in college beating the fuck out their girlfriends.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Like, those are different things.
So, if you listen, I'm definitely going to make sure I drop the first episode first because I want y'all to see the difference between Shani's conversation on the first episode and the second episode. Not that it's a negative thing, but you can just see the passion that like is boiling through her while we talk about this. Like, not that it was heated, but y'all and Bree were having like a tennis match real quick. Like, I was going back at first. My neck kind of hurt.
Yeah, no. I only say that because it's like
ping pong.
Like I said, the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. You can be a great person to everyone outside of your romantic relationships, but in your romantic relationships,
you're a completely different person. I will argue that person's a predator, though. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, they've learned how to mask it and become a predator because even with situations that have happened in my life, those people were cool. I saw this man on Christmas and my cousin got killed 2 weeks later. You get what I'm saying? So like, those are the type of things that these people are and like what they do.
Yeah.
So like, it's just so crazy that
like you said,
if you do that, you're a predator.
Pattern.
It's a pattern.
So a pattern
and it's
it.
And you're manipulating the situation and it's intentional.
Yeah.
Being an intentional person for whatever the outcome is going to be is a totally different than being in a heated argument.
Yeah.
We've all been in heated arguments. We've all thrown shit. I hope we all haven't swung at people, but we can be honest and say that we have and kicked a hole in the door and everything. But that's very different than being fucking manipulative and being like, I'm gonna isolate you, I'm gonna do all this other shit, and I'm gonna be crazy as fuck.
Yeah.
Okay. So like, this is a dope conversation. This is why I wanted to have it. But as far as like everything that we're talking about, I do want to touch on something else. Like, this is dope. But I want to touch on something like a little unique. Me and Shani had some issues.
Yes.
Beef. I'm not going to say it was like, I guess it was like our first, we j- Did we start doing video yet? No, we didn't start doing video yet, but we did start doing filming to catch us. I was by myself at the time. I didn't have a co-host. Give a quick diatribe. So somebody that came on the show, and it was Shawnee's friend, and because of I'm not going to go in depth, they had, I'll just say it, fuck it. The episode never released because in the middle of the episode, their father died. Mm. Like, they literally found out. Honestly, I never realized how traumatic a situation for someone else could be for me. Like, y'all watch, like, Harry Potter?
Yes.
Like, when a Dementor takes, like, that's literally how the room felt. Wow. Like, niggas was teary-eyed. Like, it was the worst moment of our lives. Like, phone was blowing up. She finally answered it. And you could just see, you didn't know what happened.
Her whole body
language. You could literally see her soul leave her body. Mm. And so we said we'll never drop the episode. We won't even give a piece of that episode that came. And a couple of weeks later, she was supposed to come back. But we had recorded other episodes and those dropped. And I guess if someone who was on the episode was accused of something, and the conversation that me and her had, we didn't see eye to eye because I didn't understand what happened because she could not explain it. Mm-hmm. So to me, because you could not explain to me what you felt may have happened, it was more so at the end of the day, we didn't agree. When she took that situation to social media, I felt that it portrayed me, Cocktails with Cocktails, Audio Wave Network, in a light of abuse supporters, supporters of abusers. And that wasn't the case. Mm-hmm. Because of our friendship, because of everything that we went through prior to that, not that she owed me anything. I felt like that was a conversation we could have had privately. But it was, to me, looking back at it, it was more so a clout chasing moment on Twitter and social media. And I felt like being a podcast that was mainly for women, I lost a lot of women's support. To this day, as motherfuckers that be like, dog, I don't know when I blocked you. Like, you probably blocked me when that bitch did that shit, you know, or whatever. And so Shawnee was one of the people that went nuts on me. I get it. That was her friend, X, Y, and Z. And it took years. Like, I'm not going to lie. I really, hate is a strong word. I hated Shawnee. I hated, I still hate that person. Because I felt like it put me in a light of somebody that I'm not, and it made me uncomfortable. It made me feel away. And I wanted to get Shawnee on the show because I was angry at her and I wanted to, express my anger because I'm a petty ass nigga. Everybody here knows, like, if you know me, I'm the most petty nigga in the world. Like, I had a plan. I was ready. I would periodically reach out like, hey, let's get you on the show. Because I was ready for it, you know, and I'm happy that it never happened.
Me too.
Because me and Shawnee actually had a conversation and I expressed like how I felt. I expressed my hurt. I expressed my anger because I feel like in order for us to all be allies, we have to be able to communicate with each other, even when we disagree. Mm-hmm. And because we disagreed, I felt like it was so much anger and so much emotion that we weren't able to actually see what the root of the problem was, which was, in hindsight, maybe that nigga was an abuser, but the motherfucker that created the shit was an abuser too, which I knew about, but. And funny, that person knew I would bring it up on the show. Like, hey, you have accusations yourself, but you're actually someone who advocates for this. So we want to talk about it. Like that. I'm not a person. I don't like to be a person that blindsides people with shit. Like, me and Shawnee knew that this conversation was coming up. But I want to talk about a way that me, Shawnee, and everybody else in the world can have this conversation and kind of take our emotion out of it and look at someone else's viewpoint. And had that conversation just like y'all two did with the ping pong match. Like, it wasn't like y'all was about to get up and fight each other. Mm-hmm. But obviously, y'all both disagree. And I feel like...
I don't think it was that we disagreed. I just think that we have two different experiences.
Mm-hmm. Which could still and be so, a disagreement, which is okay.
No, it's not a disagreement because there's nothing to disagree on. We just were...
We looked at the same thing differently.
Yeah. I don't think that we disagreed on the topic at hand. Mm-hmm. I just think that we were pointing out the severity of when it starts. Mm-hmm. And what it
we met in a different space
to. Exactly.
We started at a different point and met in a different space.
Yeah.
Which also, like, I appreciate you for even being vulnerable and like having this conversation. One, two, to be honest, like, my loyalty lied with my friend, so it wasn't that severe to me. My loyalty was with my friend. And, like, the conversation was with my friend. So, like, what she said was Bible to me. So, like, what it was what it was. So, like, the type of person I am, I'm Scorpio.
She
like,
said it was
I'm,
up, it was stuck.
I'm riding and dying. Like, and, like, I will ride and die. I'm a water sign. Like, I will die. I will die. Like, at that point. And then, like, even when you brought it up to me and I was, like, talking to you, you were like, why are you talking to me? And I was like, what did I do to you? And, like, also, like, at that time, I was pregnant. It was COVID. There were a lot of things, not to give it excuses, but there were just a lot of factors going on, and abusers were just coming out of the woodworks.
Oh, and there it was around that Eastern, like, auto abuses.
It was, like, all that stuff was coming out.
It was right after
It was, like, everybody.
I think I kind of know who y'all talking about now.
I was also the chair of the Detroit Slut Walk, so I had a different responsibility when it came to people making accusations. But also, I will say this. As a now seasoned organizer, I've been organizing and working in social justice work for 14 years. It'll be 15 in September.
Shout out to
and
you.
Thank you. I did not know then what I didn't know now, and that was the responsibility of me educating myself before taking sides. That everybody who you are loyal to does not mean you have blind loyalty. And that was something that I did not know until I really started diving into the education of my work. And when it comes to dealing with those situations, you should believe survivors. You should believe all these things and everything. And you should be able to believe them immediately. But there are that 2% of liars who fuck it up for everybody else. And there are the 2% of people who just want to spread mess. And then there's that 70% of people on social media who just want to point fingers because they find it as entertainment. And, like, dealing with all of that at a time where I was not at this level of maturity, I made a lot of mistakes. And I probably made people share stories that they weren't ready to share and exposed them to so many things. And I probably owe a lot of people apologies for the work I did in 2020. I did great work, but I also probably harmed a lot of people at that time as well.
Shout out to you for being vulnerable and talking about
it. But that has to be real. That has to be a conversation that I feel like anybody who's worked in social justice has to acknowledge, because you have not always been right. And although your heart was in a righteous place, you have not always been righteous. Like, that is just something that you have to acknowledge. You cannot continue to do good work if you can't acknowledge when you were fucking horrible.
Okay.
Wow. Like, that's just something you can't do. You can't keep going on if you fucked up and you won't even acknowledge that you fucked up. If somebody DM'd me because they watched this episode and said, bitch, you put me in the wrong position, I need to be able to have that conversation and take those finger points and take the blame on that. Because even though my heart was in the right place, the road to hell is paved with bad intentions.
Girl,
bad and good. It does not fucking matter. So at the end of the day, fucked up. And I fucked up with more than you. And there are people who will never tell me that I fucked up. And they will just have grievances against me for the rest of their life. That doesn't make me a bad person, but it makes me know that I have not always been right in my work. And even though my goal was to keep people from something, I still harmed people along the way. And I have to be honest about that. And for me to keep going where I can go and be the person that I can be, I have to have those conversations no matter what time it is. No matter what subject it's about, there are plenty of times I fucked up. I was the person who was trying to put $15 on the fucking ballot. Have y'all voted on that yet? No, I failed. There are plenty of failures I've had. I also worked on Prop 3. We voted on that and passed that. You know, there are plenty of successes I've had, but there are plenty of things that I did not do right and that I did wrong and that I was not in the capacity. And what it really comes down to for me personally is education.
Yeah.
I was not equipped to deal with issues that were put on my shoulders. And instead of taking them and putting them on my back and being crushed by the weight, I should have just told people this is not for me. And that's really a lesson that I have learned in my 30s.
I love that. I think that it was crazy, like, how it came to this, because we were talking about bringing somebody, a mutual, on to the show. And I've just never been a fake person. I was like, hey, I'm gonna call you separately. And I called her and I was like, I got an issue with you. I really don't fuck with you. Like, and this is why I don't fuck with you. And, you know, a lot of people aren't really, really receptive to those issues. And what I would say is, if I had to have somebody champion for Black women in the city, it would definitely be somebody that's willing to have a conversation even when it's hard. So I appreciate you for that. And for us to even come to this space.
Even when you was like, you know, I'll fuck with you. I was like, why? Yep. And like, to me, I was oblivious.
Yeah.
Like I was oblivious to the issue and you were very upset. Yeah. And I had to sit and lean in on the conversation and not say anything. Because also, you're not the first person to be like, bitch, you had me fucked up.
Yeah.
And like, that's okay.
And you learn from your mistakes, which is the most important thing.
Like she said, she had the right intentions. Yeah. It was just like without going crazy.
What she said was blind loyalty.
Yeah, like,
you didn't know the facts.
Yeah.
You were just going off of the emotion from your friend.
The person told me,
and you weren't looking at the full situation.
You shouldn't. I think back then we were doing the Catch Us on the Next Episode of Cocktails with Cocktails, and then the next day dropping an episode.
Mm.
So she was like, you shouldn't drop the episode. I'm like, why? She was like, blah, 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 did something to somebody. I'm like, what'd he do? I don't know exactly what he did, but he did something. I'm like, did he sexually assault them? Did he physically assault them?
Yeah.
Not that it matters, but like, what did he do? She was like, I don't know. I'm like, well, if you don't fucking know, how the fuck I'm supposed to know?
Right.
Like, that was the
so rather going off of emotion,
I felt
you wanted to go off of fact.
Not that I wanted to keep something, but before I drop, like, take something away.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to check him on it, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Because
that's what I'm supposed to do. Yeah. I'm like, well, you don't even... She's like, well, my friend's friend told me X, Y, and Z. Not to say that she's lying or whatever the case may be, but if you're not able to tell me what that causes to me in that situation, I felt I'm not really right. It seemed like you really kind of going off of a Twitter hearsay.
You know what? Even beyond that, I have to also understand what my own power is and what my political power always has been and what my word means to multiple people.
Mm-hmm.
And people will manipulate that out of me and people will be able to tell me like, hey, I need you to get behind this issue. And this is something that I have learned as my power grows. Like, you know, I have videos on Instagram that have 9 million fucking views. And it's just me complaining about being a fucking parent. And then I have other videos that are me talking about political power and like all different types of stuff. And like, I have to realize when somebody is asking me to get behind an issue, why I have to dive deep into what that issue is now and what that means.
Yeah.
There is no one in my life who can just tell me anything anymore and I get behind it. And that is a lesson I had to learn, that power needs to have things behind it. And when you're building power, which is something I want to do, I don't want to keep making mistakes. I can't be known as the girl who's always fucking making mistakes and asking people for things. Yeah. And that's just something that 2020 taught me as a whole, is like, okay, like you were driven by emotion, but like, let's be driven by your intellect and then put your emotion behind it. Because that's why I'm passionate about these things and my conversation has changed. Because what really fucking matters to me is what I really have to drive into.
Yeah. And not to, and just to make sure that our listeners understand, the person that I'm saying that has told me this was not Shani. Like, I didn't even know Shani at this point. It was that person told me, and then her being her best friend, she did what best friends normally would do, especially at that point. But like I said, we definitely grew from it. So I appreciate you.
I
would hug
you
if you were closer.
Yeah,
it's just, it would be like very awkward to stand up now and to run.
I just didn't want to be talking about dick and assholes.
Yeah. So we know you need ass.
We going to talk about
So look, we going to move
to not you on Bill Clinton me.
Yeah. We going to move to a more lighthearted portion of the conversation. Can you give us 15, 20?
Of what?
Minutes?
She
got
her stop.
What time is it? Okay, we got 13. We gonna move through this at 13. So everybody gonna move with me fast. We got this on 3, 1, 2, 3.
Go.
Boom. Naughty Time with Bessa.
Okay, so today's Naughty Time with Bessa is brought to you by Glory Holes.
Period.
Glory holes are said to go as far back as the 1700s.
Damn!
But the first recorded use of the phrase appears in an 1849 text called Curiosities of Glassmaking. It is also a term that was used for the steward quarters on ships.
Wow, that's crazy. While Brie is ready to show us how she likes to dry hump, has anyone ever used a glory hole before?
Yes. I don't know what that is.
A glory hole is a hole. No. Somebody sticks their dick through it. You suck it.
I've been in a glory hole before.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be sucked. It can be anything on the other end of that hole. All right,
we're going to let Brie get ready for this dry hump.
Oh, wow.
It could be a vagina on the other side of that.
Yeah,
Johnny, do you approve of legal glory holes?
Legal glory holes is funny. What's a legal glory hole?
I don't know what an illegal glory hole is, but I'm sure as long as it comes with consent, I would approve of any glory hole.
I like
I've
that.
Always wanted to, so, you know, use a glory hole.
With who?
Whatever dick that comes out of it. What do you mean?
You can't say with who. It's a glory hole.
Y'all made my point. So, Bree, we're going to move past the glory holes. You said you like to dry hump. Show us how you dry hump, please.
Okay, so.
She got the Crocs in sport mode, too. So, she about to hump.
Okay, where do you want me is the question.
Use that. Use the chair.
Oh, I'm on the chair.
Do you want to use a body? Take his glasses off.
I don't want to use the body.
Oh, then the chair.
I'm okay. It's not so
I'm just very nervous.
You want us to all look the other way while you do it?
No, you don't have to look the other way.
Everybody look at Connie.
I want you to give me a scenario. Like, what position do you want
to
look at?
What position do you like to dry hump in?
You know, I'm more
I never met a dry humper, so.
I dry hump chairs and people.
I dry hump my pillow sometimes.
Ooh, but you know, my dry humping is more of a like dancing situation.
Let's see it.
So, you know, like, there's a guy, you're sitting down, you know, we're at a party.
Oh, so you're talking about
you want Johnny to, like...
Yeah, I'm more of a lap dance, like, have the music going.
Travis, do you need me to hold the camera?
Situation Travis, type of thing.
I can hold the camera, Travis.
Not y'all pick Travis for the drop.
Me take the lap dance.
You should.
I feel like she's taking a lot of lap dances.
I say
give it to Alessa.
I
so
just
she
saw a
give
video. It to Alessa.
Yeah.
I do. All right, if you want Alessa to
Alessa
get a lap dance,
gave me compliments already, so I think that she kind of likes me.
Okay, I'll take another lap dance.
Am I coming over to you?
Yeah, come on, girl. No, I'll see right better from here.
I'm definitely more of a teaser than anything, and I've never had a sexual experience with a woman before.
Mm. So you look like a cooter licker.
I look like a cooter licker?
A cooter licker?
I've never licked cooter in my life. I've never had a woman.
Promise you'll do it before this year's up.
I'm not.
All right, I try, y'all.
No, but I'm definitely.
Raise your hand if you haven't licked cooter.
Person, so I like to, you know, show the butt.
Legs close.
So we're here.
Okay.
Legs come out. You know, we kind of roll it around. Ooh. Get the hips working.
She is a dancer. I'm not going to touch her if she doesn't want consent. She said that
she we like
not,
to, you know, scoop.
She's not usually into women.
Guys really like the scoop. You know,
yeah,
like it's not home. Really about.
So you just you a stripper with clothes on.
I am.
You deja vu, but liquor.
Definitely, and but I like liquor. To really go all the way down.
Whoa!
Oh,
wow.
Take it around.
Okay. Take it around.
I feel like that's what really gets it going, and then you know you gotta bring it from the front. Yeah, so you gotta
come
go
to the front.
Okay.
Over.
Oh, Jesus Christ!
You said you was a horrible rider, right?
No, I never said that.
The way your booty looked,
I started off riding dick.
Mm. Oh, she lost virginity riding.
You gotta take the full penis. You gotta take it scooped down, and then you gotta.
Oh, this was like my penis.
And then bring it right back down. Okay. So we go there, and then you get the little hips going around
and around.
I'm not looking, y'all.
You want to though?
No, my wife outside.
She knows something.
Yeah, she definitely knows something.
Unless it's getting wet, y'all.
Usually, what I like to do is it's really like subtle, you know. Okay.
That was very. Seductive.
I like that. So,
what's the word I'm looking for? Intimate. No, I'm looking for the word intimate.
Yeah, I think that's why I can't do casual sex because I'm very intimate person. All right.
It was very intimate without being penetrative.
We're gonna end the episode on a conversation. Bree mentioned that men can't be. Hold on, I wrote it down. Men can't be male friends like. Why is that? And then why did you sexualize it? Like, to leave it to men? Why can't we be male friends? Like, why can't me and you gain a friendship and you think that it's going to be genuine? Why do you think I'm going to try to fuck you?
I don't think that it's a situation where we can't be friends. I just think because of the line of work that I do, even though I'm not a sex worker, I'm a yoga teacher, men automatically sexualize everything that I do. So it doesn't matter if I am trying to be platonic. Sometimes when you just have like natural sex appeal, people can't get over it. Like I'm the type of person, I'm going to look you in your eyes when I'm talking to you. I'm going to have a, you know, intimate conversation and ask you about different things that you may be uncomfortable with. And I think that a lot of men aren't used to a platonic relationship in that way. They think that that only deals with a romantic situation. Wow.
Maybe I can just speak for me and Trav. We went to a school that was 70% women.
Okay.
I mean, that's how I guess I was always used to having women friends. Like,
but have you ever had a situation where you've had to suppress your emotions because a woman was attractive?
Yeah, I was used to. I fucked a lot of my friends. So, like,
yeah.
Like, I just think that these things could be.
I don't fuck my male friends. I have platonic male friends.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that
they don't look at me in a way where they're like, I will fuck you. I think that they suppress what they feel.
I definitely am not looking at my male friends like I would fuck them. No.
You don't be like none of them handsome.
They're handsome, but I'm not attracted to them.
Being handsome and being sexually attracted to someone is two different things.
Do y'all think being sexually attracted to somebody is the worst thing in the world?
No, but I feel like because of the type of relationship that we have, the same way I'm not sexually attracted to my girlfriends, I'm not sexually attracted to my male friends. Like,
you never fuck none of your girlfriends?
No, but I've had experiences with men and women. But that's just not where we're at.
When you meet people, do you like start off as friends, or do you go straight to like?
I know exactly who I'm sexually attracted to when I see them.
Let me ask you this: do either of you have a genuine friendship with somebody you've ever had sexual relations with?
Yes.
No.
For sure.
Well, I think that that's where the disconnect could possibly be.
I'm not. No. I'm.
Let me rewind.
I don't have that feeling is because the sexual experience, it wasn't good.
You know what? I'm being a dick.
That's real.
I think that I'm speaking from a level of what's the word I'm looking for? A more unique experience. Something that's not real. So I'll admit that I'm full of shit. Like, I'm speaking from, I'm an anomaly. That's what it is. Like, I understand that these relationships that I may have may not be something that everybody else can have.
Yeah, you are an anomaly. Yeah. The fact that you are okay with the feminine side of who you are because you're willing to talk about your sexual experiences. You're willing to talk about butt play and things of that sort that most men aren't.
Oh, because I lift my knees up to my chest?
I mean, hey,
Jesus Christ!
I think that involves a certain type of aspect
when it comes to a man being willing to even express that, hey, this is what I like to do. A lot of men aren't in tune with that side of themselves. So it may be easier for you to disconnect in a romantic way with a woman because you're more in tune with your feminine capability.
Also, what Tay said, he said he's not that horny. I do think that men need to find a way. Like, what did you call it? You said it's not have your cake and eat it too is what?
I don't know.
Maybe that wasn't you. Somebody said it's not to have your cake and eat it too. It's have your Kate and
Edith too.
Was that you?
No. Oh. But I saw that stupid shit on the internet.
Yeah. So I didn't know that, but that makes sense. Like, niggas don't have to fuck everything.
Right.
And if you have a genuine friendship, even if you have some sexual attraction, it's okay to actually suppress that and fuck somebody else. Fuck her friend.
But you know what I feel like?
Fuck her friend as well.
People, especially when it's two attractive people, people automatically assume that you're fucking.
That's how it is for me. I got like a lot of girls.
And it's hard for you to have a genuine relationship because of the pressures of society.
Fuck society.
Well, you guys look good together. You should be talking. You should be dating. But it's like,
that's my friend. That's just my friend.
Or that, yeah.
Because maybe I know some shit about you that the next person don't. And I'm like, I would never fucking date you, though. But he's a great friend.
Your friend can be a great friend, but a horrible person. I like that. So look, this has been a great episode of what?
Cocktails with cocktails.
And we're about to record our Cocktails with Cocktail X's. I appreciate all y'all. Seriously, definitely my homies that stay behind for extra episodes. This has been a dope time. Thank you, Trav. What do you normally like to say?
Suck a dick.
Boom. All right, we got to do the catch real quick because Shiny got to go. I want all of y'all sitting on this couch. Okay. It's going to be thick as thieves. Okay. Catch us on the next episode of Cocktails with Cocktails, and we're going to go down.